And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this Tuesday, August 19th. And we're looking at partly cloudy skies out there. Temperatures generally in the mid to upper 70s across the area. And it's been a quiet day so far, but man, we had some random pop-up storms last night affecting areas. Oh, Ypsilanti areas out through areas around where Bridget's at, around Hunter and Prosper and Galesburg picked up some rain, but the heaviest out to the west, stretching from Barnes County all the way down through Richland County, where some areas, again, the Ypsilanti area, picking up over 2.5 inches of rain. Just not needed, that's for sure. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. And Bridget, looks like you guys picked up, looks like about 1/2 to 3/4 in your neck of the woods.
I would say depending on where you were at, which field you were in, that right. type of thing. Because they were pretty sporadic storms. As I drove back from Bismarck yesterday, I could see them all developing to the north of I-94. And they kept getting more intense the further east I got, which thankfully I was ahead of them. But I did send some pictures to Addison of what that storm looked like last night. And these are right out of my backyard as far as what that cold, I don't know if I want to call that a front moving in or a cloud shelf. I mean, what's the technical term on this, Dean? But that's essentially what it was looking like right overhead. And that was about 7:30 last night.
Yeah, it was that was what time? About 7:30?
Yes.
Yeah, those storms were cooking to your west at about that time, moving towards your area. But kind of ominous looking if you don't know what you're looking at. But it's... again, no severe weather. There was a few severe thunderstorm warnings that were issued by the Weather Service, but no severe weather ended up materializing from that, thankfully. So that's good news there. And the good news in the forecast is we have, for the most part, over the next week to 10 days, some much drier weather heading our way. Now, today we're looking at partly cloudy skies. We've got a lot of clouds in the eastern third up and down the valley into Lakes Country, but we'll see more and more breaks for sunshine as we head throughout the day. Low to mid-80s today with light winds out of the north at about 5 to 10. Clear skies, maybe a little patchy fog overnight tonight, but down to about 60. And a little breezier on Wednesday, mid to upper 80s. Upper 80s, humidity increases on Thursday. Highs in the upper 80s again. And a cold front approaches Thursday evening. That will trigger off some storms. Anytime after about 5, 6 o'clock at night. It doesn't look like anything widespread, but any of those storms that do develop could be on the stronger side with temperatures then Thursday night dropping off into the 60s and cooler weather and dry. Friday all the way through the following Friday. So we've got about a week of dry weather, and that doesn't mean we can't rule out an isolated shower here or there, but for the most part, we're looking at dry weather for a full week around here with increasing sunshine. So that's good news there. We need to dry things out a little bit, and it looks like Mother Nature is going to cooperate as we head all the way through. It looks like Labor Day weekend. We should have some pretty decent and dry weather.
And you mentioned some cooling temperatures. Mm-hmm. Dry weather will be nice. I'm looking forward to getting the phone call that it's time to hit the field and harvest our wheat crop because we're ready, right? We want to make sure that's taken care of. There are some farmers in the area that have completed small grains and wanted to make sure that that way they get the crop off so we don't have to worry about quality. Right now, you know, we're kind of getting to that verge where some folks are getting more worried with the more rain we get. We have to deal with falling numbers. We have to think about poor quality grades as we haul that grain in. So let's get those fields taken care of. So I like that idea of nice drier stretch of weather for us. And temperature-wise, we're better than the folks who are already down in Mitchell, South Dakota for Dakota Fest. I'll be headed there tomorrow. They've already said it's about 1,000% humidity with relentless sunshine. And I'm sorry, but that sounds terrible. So if you see me walking around with an umbrella like a little old lady to keep the sun off, because I don't want that kind of heat.
Yeah, it's and the good news about this dry stretch that we're going to be in, this flow is coming straight out of Canada. So that means not only drier, but cooler weather with below normal temps all next week in the 70s. And that should hopefully that is a long enough stretch, Bridget, where we can get our wheat harvest maybe by later next week.
I hope by later this week, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, okay.
And I hate to tell you this, but if I'm out of town tomorrow, you're in charge. So let me know how it turns out. We're going to need to know what our bushels are. For those who have not yet sent me your guesses of what you think our grain harvest will bring on a per acre basis, you can send me those bushel guesses, ag@flagfamily.com. You'll be registered to win one of our Darter plastic rain gauges, as well as a $100 gas card to go along with it. Any weather questions, send them to Dean, weather@flagfamily.com. And you can call us at any time today, 701-293-9000, as well as following along. I think there's several folks who are watching today on YouTube, Facebook, or Acres TV, where you find us at Weather and Ag in Focus. So if you miss an episode, you can always go back and see what you might have missed. We're happy to have you check those out.
Yeah, and I've had a few people ask me too, you know, is this the last gasp of summer weather this week? And it doesn't look like it. I think we'll see a couple more shots of some much warmer weather, one of those coming in Labor Day weekend. So that's great news for anybody that has a extended Labor Day weekend. Looks like we will have heat and humidity building back in for at least a couple of days. But our general flow as we head into September is going to be coming out of the northwest, generally out of Canada. Now, we will be dragging some more smoke in here, unfortunately, with that. Hopefully not as bad as it was the last go-around. But I did get an email. The severe weather that we had in our area, I believe it was August 6th, roughly. It was earlier this month. I think it was right around August 6th. Asking when that will be back in the LRC cycle. And it would be towards the middle of September, so right around the 17th through, I think, the 24th, roughly around that time frame. Hopefully not severe weather like we had earlier this month, but that will be cycling back in the last of the LRC, the last cycle of this year before the new cycle, new LRC will set up, not far away, early October. So we'll be keeping a very close eye on what October and November look like in regards to what the rest of the upcoming winter will look like as well. And we'll be talking with Gary between now and then, kind of picking his brain on what he thinks. Because as we said, the LRC is a central piece of the atmospheric puzzle, but there's many other pieces that go along with it. And some of those other pieces are pointing towards a colder and snowier winter. That's not guaranteed, but if I was a betting person, I would lay money down that there's no way it's going to be like the last two. And we've had cakewalk winters for the most part for the last two winters, so I wouldn't count on that this upcoming winter.
I did see a graphic from a different meteorologist early this morning talking about upcoming winter months being very cold and snowy, but the definition of what you think snowy is, and again, that was covering a wide geography of multiple northern states. It depends where you are, right, what that's going to look like.
It does. And we truly don't know about the precip until the new LRC cycle starts. Because, again, if we have a very stormy October and November, that will translate throughout the rest of the winter, spring, and even into summer. So that's what we'll be keeping a very close eye on what happens this upcoming fall.
More storms means that that's going to knock more tree branches out from the previous storms we've already had. We have a lot of broken limbs and shelter belts and in yards. We've got broken trees and stumps that have to be taken care of all over communities in the area. Several of us have had storms through June, July, and now even into August. So if you're looking at those and wondering what you need to do, a conversation with a local arborist can't hurt. But then look at that vulnerability. Have the trees been topped, which is probably the worst thing, is when they break off at a higher level. And those topping leads to a weaker regrowth that is much more easily damaged in storms in the future. So if you can do some pruning to try to help that out, get that tree to maybe flesh out a little bit and get more girth to it versus just height, that will help. And then just evaluate what you have going on in your trees. Keep a close eye on them. If you have limbs that are hanging rather precariously, if you have swing sets, jungle gyms, toys underneath there for the kids, you're going to want to focus on getting those out of the way first and just watch for that storm damage. Unfortunately, every time we get wind right now, more limbs and trees are coming down. They're knocking into buildings, knocking out windows on farm equipment that's in your yard, etc. So we can't ignore what's going on. And unfortunately, for so many, there is years of work ahead of them. It's not just getting trees cleared so you can run a combine this fall. It's what you have to clean up in the future as well with uprooted trees and those that are broken off and so much more. So we'll have Don Kinzer coming on soon in September to talk about some of his advice, what we can do with a few of those trees and how we can make things a little bit better. Also, stay tuned because we will be joined after the American Ag Network's Livestock Report. We'll be joined by Marcia Van Leer with Gowan Company. We're going to talk about fall weed control, planning for next year already because we haven't even harvested the 2025 crop, but we have to think ahead about 2026. And we'll do that when we return. Thanks for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. Glad to have you as part of the day. And want to remind folks that if you have not yet done so, take a look at the fence check assessment with techsupportfarm.com. You're going to want to take a little look over there to see, do you have the right protection? You don't want to leave a gate open, not just for the cows, but for all of your technical information as well. You don't want anybody swiping information off of your emails or watching you and attaching ransomware and more. So talk to Chris over at techsupport.farm. Well, as always, you're welcome to reach out via the JLA Insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. And one person who uses that when she joins us is Marcia Van Leer with Gowan Incorporated, or Gowan USA, I should say. Marcia, where are you traveling to today?
Yes. I was gone all last week, so I'm sticking close to home today. I'm just coming back from up by Roseau, actually.
Hey, how's things look in Northwest Minnesota? That is an area I actually haven't been to this summer, which seems odd, but how does crop look?
Okay. I mean, nobody can really complain about anything. Been a little bit of water sitting up there. It looks like, I mean, for the most part, things like any place else, they look good.
Well, I'm glad to hear that because right now is the Pro Farmer Crop Tour is going on across many of the Midwestern states. They started in South Dakota yesterday, came to Nebraska, and they are, in fact, looking ahead to make sure that our crop looks outstanding. They're talking about a humongous yield for USDA in corn. I'm not sure I quite believe that. I mean, you're in the field as much as anyone. Do you think that we still have a monster record corn crop sitting out there?
I don't think so. And that's just, you know, talking with, we had regional meetings last week, and that's talking with, you know, some of the boys from Illinois, Ohio, even some of the guys down south. I mean, we have a good crop, but I don't think it's monster. I think, you know, we miss some pollination. And I think that's what's going to hurt us. We know how the government seems to be. They always like to say that we have more than we do.
Yes.
I mean, we're not going to know until, you know, harvest hits, but I don't think it's as big as everybody's saying it is.
Well, I'm with you on that one. But when it comes to something that might not be quite what it seems, how about weed control? Because right now, as I see fields with water hemp sticking up through the canopy and realize we missed some spots through the season, but also just the biology of how water hemp works. Any chance it gets with moisture and sunlight, it's going to set, the seed's going to start to germinate and it's going to come right through that canopy. Is water hemp the only thing that you're seeing, or what other weed problems are you finding?
No, I mean, I'm seeing water hemp. I'm seeing kochia. I'm seeing pigweed coming through. There's lamb's quarter coming through. I've seen some nightshade. I mean, it's not just one weed this year that seems to have been missed or came late or whatnot. I don't see quite as much volunteer corn as I was expecting this year, so that's a good thing. I mean, we see some wild oats that are coming through. Not so much foxtails. I mean, there's just it's a wide variety that I've seen coming through right now. Like I said, I don't know if, you know, pre's were put down and they just weren't followed through, or, you know, every rain shower that we get, you know, every rain shower we get, or or popcorn shower we get, water hemp's going to come and kosher's going to come. We know how that goes.
See, that's the thing. Every rain shower we had, and there was a time there where the soybeans were so slow to develop. That canopy was just wide open, in particular in that crop, where you just kept getting more opportunity for weeds to emerge. It's hard to say if corn's messy right now with weeds because you can't really see it. It's short. But I think that was probably our greatest thing is the soybean crop. We were colder longer. We didn't get that crop canopy in competition. And, man, it just set us up for a lot of seed to set and be ready and viable for 2026 and beyond, unless I'm seeing it differently.
No, I agree. I also think we probably didn't get quite as many pre-emerges out that we should have. I think Right. Some guys were looking at some stuff and maybe trying to save themselves a couple dollars. And I think that's coming back to bite them. I mean,
Yeah. We've
discussed this in the past. You and I have that, you can't skimp out on weed control. They thought they were going to get by, and I mean, Mother Nature's like, yeah, no, that ain't happening this year. And that's something that we just, it needs to be penciled in right away. I mean, there's plenty of options out there. It needs to be penciled in. It needs to be taken care of.
Yes, because I get it. Weed control really matters. Every part of the year that we can, I get the fact that dollars were super tight. But it always comes back in the worst way, like you just said. Are you already starting to have some conversations with folks for next year and what they might be thinking they need to do in pre-planning for 2026?
Oh yeah. We're gearing up here now, right around beginning or middle of September is prime season for starting to put granules down, especially those boys out western North Dakota, eastern Montana. We always like to say wait till the soil cools off, but at this point it's just get it out there when you can. We've kind of found that we don't lose quite as much as we expected we would, even with the warmer soils. So that's a conversation I've been having with retailers, is getting product moved into place for that. Even some of these guys on the east side of the state, hey, what can we do different for next year? Start looking at some of these fall prees. Yukon and corn is a great fall pre if you don't have a sugar beet rotation. Put it down in the fall.
Oh, sure.
And now you're going to start that cornfield a little bit cleaner in the spring. And that's key. The other thing is fall pasture. Some of these guys that haven't taken care of pastures, they should be spraying some stuff in their pastures right now and cleaning some of that stuff up, because all we're doing is, sorry, I got my new guy with me. Can you see him?
he's a furry four-legged little guy.
Yes, he's Ben. All we're doing by not controlling weeds early is basically depositing into that weed bank. I mean, I've had conversations with growers that their minimum till or no till, but they've got such a high weed bank that pretty soon they're not going to have anything else to use. They're going to have to use iron. And when I say iron, I'm saying field cultivator. I mean, I have one guy that's talking about pulling out a plow because he's got wild oat issues.
Oh boy.
And we don't necessarily want to go back to that. I don't advocate for that. I mean, but some of the conversations I've had is you might need to go 1 year of iron and use some of the old school pre's to start working on some of the stuff. Once every 4 years, this is what you're going to do on this field. And we're losing it. We don't have a choice anymore. There's nothing new coming on the pipeline.
No, there's not. And if there is a new product that's announced, it is very specific to what weed it's going to control, meaning that you just don't have the broad spectrum opportunities that we once did. So things are definitely changing rapidly in that realm. Okay, bottom of the hour news. Hang on, Marcia. We'll talk back with you in just a little bit.
Hold on. Before Marcia goes, Marcia, we've had numerous emails. Okay. And by numerous, I mean just me. Where did you get the cute chocolate lab? Where did you get him or her?
So I picked up Ben in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Oh.
Would have been on. What are you? Well, I've had him. It was a week yesterday.
Oh.
Or a week on. Sorry, a week on Saturday.
He's adorable.
So.
He's adorable.
I want to do a segment of Wag.
He's a little land shark, is what he is right now.
I bet he is. Well, don't go anywhere. We've got the bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Thanks for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus with a little bit of a change. We had a guest join us in the studio today, and we don't want to miss out on that opportunity. And so we are joined by Suza Baldwin. She is the head of the NDSU Diagnostic Lab. And more importantly, what's the diagnostic lab? Because I bet there's some folks out there who didn't even know it exists. So, Suzette, would you care to give us a little explanation of what's going on at NDSU these days?
Yeah, so the NDSU Plant Diagnostic Lab has been around for quite some time now, actually 60-plus years. It started in early 1960s with a diagnostician that diagnoses different variety of plant problems during the summer, and then it went to a full-time position back in early 1980s. And so from that, we have different diagnosticians. We have the lab evolve into different testing services. And so our main goal is to give unbiased assistance to different stakeholders. So that ranges from homeowners, gardeners, ag professionals, farmers with plant problems that they have.
And Suzette, you have Amy is with us as well. Amy, what do you do with NDSU? You work with the diagnostic lab as well, correct?
That's correct. Yes, I'm the assistant plant diagnostician. So I do whatever samples. We do samples together.
Okay, and what exactly do you guys, like, give us an example of what of you were just saying with the plants. What exactly do you do? Just give us a couple things that you guys might do with it.
Okay, so everything from, I mean, it could be anything. Homeowners, it could be something that's wrong with your tree. It could be something that's wrong with your turf. It could be something in your field that you're a farmer and you have a field and you have a problem with that's going on in your field, and we'll consult specialists and figure that out and do whatever tests we need to do to figure that out. And then also seed health. We do seed health testing, and that's for any of the companies that need certification and things like that for their growers.
What's the biggest problem you guys see in our area? What's that people contact you about?
I would say probably the biggest amount of things that we get in the lab have to do with the growers and crop consultants and bringing in crops. And they'll want to know what's wrong with my field, and they'll want to know what should we do about it.
Yeah, there's a wave of, like, I would say, like, a wave of samples depends on the month. So, like, for example, early spring, so, like, May, right, we get a lot more of, like, the garden problems. So what's wrong with my lawn? What's wrong with my trees? Greenhouses.
Right.
And then by the time June and July hits, it's more about the crops. For example, it's like, what's wrong with my crops? Is this a chemical damage? Is this a soil problem? In July, August, then we get to see a range of different problems, so like diseases or pests. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So for you, it's not just about testing one specific thing. You're looking across the board, whether it's disease, like you said, there could be a pesticide involved, that type of thing. And are you getting live tissue samples in most often? Will you also be able to look at soil samples? What are some of the things that folks send you for that diagnostic work?
So I guess I'll give a specific example. So right now we're getting more soybean samples, and what we wanted is for the growers to send like as fresh sample as possible so we could diagnose it more accurately. Because if we get more of like close to dead or dead samples, it's difficult for us to assess that because there's a lot of things going on. It could be the causal agent itself, and then there's decomposers and other things that is not causing it, but it's already there. So soil samples, we do not do soil samples, but we do send them out to a list of like labs that could do the soil samples themselves. But if, for example, the disease or the pathogen is soil-borne and it's causing the disease, for example, in potatoes, we do process soil samples for pathogen testing, but not the nutritional deficiencies and other chemicals that's present in the soil.
Okay. Do you do the soybean cyst nematode sampling?
So the lab does not, but NDSU Extension has a program with North Dakota Soybean Council, and they send it to a private lab. And they have, believe, like 2,000 to 3,000 samples, SEN bags for free for growers in North Dakota.
Well, I heard you say you want things to come in when they're living, not at the, you know, the dead end, so to speak, of the plant tissue, right? You want something that you can test for. So do you have some suggestions when folks are thinking, I don't know what's wrong in my field and I want to send in a sample? How should they package it? Because I know sometimes that can vary whether you should put it in a plastic bag or not, or if you should have it on ice, or any recommendations for folks to think about?
Right. So if you are local and if you want to drop off your sample in our lab, then that's the easiest part, right? You take out the plant, and if it's possible, send it or drop it out then the same day. If you cannot do that, or if you have to mail, so what we recommend is put it in the inside the fridge. If you're gonna mail it, then wrap it on a paper towel, not moist, right? And then put the paper towel inside a Ziploc bag and then package it in the box. But then mailing it too is kind of tricky because we have a campus mail, we have a physical address, and we have a mailing address. So the campus mail is USPS, and that takes a little bit more time, probably 2 to 3 days more, because it kind of goes around the campus. So what our preferred courier is UPS, because we get it straight to our physical address.
Okay. You know, when it comes to turnaround time, what does that look like when a sample comes in before test results are sent back to the farmer, the crop consultant, or whomever requested it? Does it depend on what you're testing for more than anything?
Yes, it depends. So if we have, for example, a textbook disease, and I'm the expert, for example, on a particular disease and or a plant, then we could turn around right away, but then that probably will, I won't have a job tomorrow if it's always easy, right? But then if it requires culturing, for example, which means that you put it on a media, right, and isolate the pathogen from the plant, then it would take somewhere around 1 to 2 weeks. And then we have another level of testing, for example, is the molecular test. So either what we call PCR or the serological testing, so ELISA, that will take also between 1 to 2 weeks. It just depends on like how many number of samples, how many we have at that particular week. We don't always go, you know, like, oh, first come, first serve. I mean, there's multiple of us, so there's three of us working on a sample and try to punch out as many samples as we can.
Sure. Do you have anything that's been surprising that you have found at the times you've been doing some of your samples and testing, where it was a bit of an aha moment, or maybe something that needed to notify whether the State Ag Department or NDSU Extension because of what you discovered?
So, yeah, we had a couple, I would say. So last last year, last season, we found tar spot of corn, which is new to North Dakota, but not necessarily South Dakota or Minnesota. It's kind of like a matter of time. And that's through a sample mm-hmm. that's sent to the lab from a farm near the South Dakota border. And then we found, for example, sudden death syndrome of soybean. It's not a new disease. It's a reoccur disease, emerging disease that was found 2020s, and then now it's coming back. So those types of things lets farmers get informed. And we work with extension specialists that's specific for those crops.
And Amy, this question goes to you. Are there any fees? We had a question come in via email. Are there any fees for the testing?
So, yes, there is fees. I would say that we encourage especially homeowners and farmers to go to their extension agent first. And then typically when their extension agent needs a test, special testing, or if they couldn't figure it out, then they would send it to us. We get a lot of the hard ones. And so then we'll do testing and figure out what's going on from there. And so then all our fees are available on the website. So you can look those up anytime. Those are current.
In that website, in case people don't have it?
So that, do you have that memorized?
It's a long website, so it's like ndsu.edu/agriculture/plant pathology.
Okay, okay. Yeah. That's all right.
It's long, but, you know. So but if you type it in Google, NDSU Plant Diagnostic Lab, it shows up. And
okay, perfect.
I also want to mention that if they go through the agents, we work with the agents, and a lot of it, if not all, are waived. Except for if we need more advanced testing, like the molecular
ones. Okay.
Well, that would be fantastic. Is, like you said, reach out to your local agents, your extension specialists, and get that help that you need in sending in those samples. So, ladies, very much appreciate you taking the time today to visit about what the lab does, where you are, because you're kind of a hidden gem right over there on NDSU's campus.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah, we, like I said, we've been around, but we have to promote the lab more, and this is a good avenue for that. Thank you.
Good deal.
Thank you. Yes. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, Suzette, Amy, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time. And when we come back after the break, we'll have a quick recap on weather, and Bridget will run down a few more ag topics, all of that coming up right after the break. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. We're looking at 76 degrees here at the studio, partly cloudy skies. We'll continue our warm-up today into the low to mid-80s, so a little bit warmer than yesterday by a few degrees, and then we'll continue to warm things up through Wednesday and Thursday, upper 80s on Thursday. Humidity returns, although the humidity isn't. It's pretty high today. And then a cold front will bring a relief Thursday evening. It may trigger off some strong storms during the evening hours after 5, 6 o'clock. We'll keep an eye on that. And then the weekend looks nice. If you like the cooler weather with highs upper 60s to right around 70, morning lows in the upper 40s. The good news is after Thursday, it looks like a dry forecast all the way through next week. Now, we can't, with the cooler air coming in over the weekend, we can't rule out a pop-up shower Saturday night into early Sunday, but and no organized areas of rain after Thursday, the passage of the cold front for a week. So we'll see a week of dry weather, which I'm sure many that brings a smile to their face.
That will be helpful. There is no doubt about that. And with that dry weather, we're looking forward to being able to harvest our wheat field again for Here We Grow 2025, where we have been custom farming 20 acres of spring wheat along with our farm cooperator, Jim and Michael Ulan. And a thank you to those who've been a part of that project, Codico Fuels and Propane. In fact, they must have known I was talking about them today. A Codico bulk fuels truck went by my house just earlier today to make a delivery. So if you haven't talked to them about getting your bulk fuel or oils in place for fall harvest, quick, make those phone calls now to Codico Fuels and Propane. And then also Ellings and Company. Because if we have that dry stretch of weather, and maybe it's a drier spring, I'm sure we'll find out more about that. You may be thinking about doing some tiling projects or other land value projects that you want to get taken care of, well, give those folks over at Ellingson Company a call. Get that knocked out because you want to make sure that you are on the list so things can get done in a timely fashion. We appreciate all the work that they have done with us for this season, too. Mm-hmm. Much appreciated.
No doubt. No doubt. And so, Bridget, so it looks like we may be harvesting tomorrow. Is that enough? Because we just had rain last night, so.
Well, it depends how warm it is today, how the humidity, if the humidity moves out and we can get into the field. We're going to wait for that phone call once our farmers are able to tell us. Might not be tomorrow, might be Thursday. We're just going to have to see what the rest of the week turns out to be like. But hopefully no more rain showers tonight, although humidity does hold us back, so we can't get nearly as much done in the mornings as we might like.
Right. And how does Jim gauge that in terms of humidity? Does he go out and say, all right, the field looks dry enough now, we can harvest, or is it based on the humidity level outside?
So if you have that heavy wet dew, you're going to want dew to dry off.
Right.
And if you think it looks dry, if you don't have any more green tillers at the bottom of the plant, et cetera, the whole field has turned color so that it, you know, that nice golden color. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a matter of you got to put the combine in the field and then take a moisture test sample off of it to make sure that you're in the range that you want to be.
Gotcha.
So that it's time to start taking that field off. So some things, you know, even like with this Pro Farmer Tour right now that's trying to look at what the overall crop estimates are for corn and soybean nationwide, until we put a combine in those fields, I don't think it matters. I mean, it's great that we're trying to estimate it and give everybody an idea what the market's going to do, but it really doesn't matter until we run a combine through there because every field has so much variability.
Right.
It's just how it's going to be.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us here on Weather and Ag in Focus. Tomorrow's guest will have Gary Lezak. We'll be talking about the LRC tomorrow. But don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, it's coming up next.